The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Kate, you know, we've been very blessed to cook in some really gorgeous, amazing places, particularly on ranches. Wide open spaces, beautiful country, pastures. But I think it's also interesting to note that it isn't always the landscape that makes ranches beautiful for us, right? It's the people.
You know, the heart that we get to see that they have in it, the family-run ranches where the little kids are out there, the teenagers are out there. They ain't got a cell phone in their hand. They ain't got a Game Boy in their hand. They're cowboying.
A Game Boy. Now, that's aging you a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a Play Atari, you know. I mean, they didn't have none of them either.
Yeah, so, hey, folks, sit down, grab a cup of coffee, come go with us, because we're going to explore some of the most beautiful ranches we've ever been on, and we're taking y'all with us.
Howdy, my name is Kent Rollins. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast.
Can we go out anywhere from maybe like 5 days, as long as 5.5 weeks out on ranches? So we spend a good amount of time out there and we're with the chuck wagon. And a lot of times we are, I want to say the farthest most remote ranch was maybe, were we 70 miles from a paved road, do you think? At its most deep part of the ranch?
Yeah, I always tell people it's a place that ain't on a GPS and the map can't find.
It's so nice because it's forced isolation, right?
Yeah, but it's not forced in a bad way.
No, not at all. It's forced in a way where you have to deplug, deconnect, and you can just really appreciate everything that's around you and the people that are around you.
I mean, sure, it's a busy time, but it's in a place that makes you slow down also to get to see all the surroundings around you, the people that you get to meet, the critters you get to see. Sure. Some of them good, some of them bad, two-legged, four-legged, both, you know. But there's nothing that I would trade in the last 38 years of being a chuck wagon cook. But I think the thing that have stuck out the most by doing it was the people and the places.
Yeah.
I never take for granted what I get to see every day. I tell the good Lord every time, Lord, make me ever mindful of the little things I sometimes take for granted. Mm-hmm. The sunrise and the sunset that we see, I don't think some people get to see them things, Shan.
And we're cooking usually 3 meals a day. It can get a little hectic, but at the end of it, we're feeding people, we're having a good time, and it's bringing people together. So I've actually categorized this. And so I'm going to ask you the category, or I'm going to present to you the category.
Sort of like a game show?
It is. No prize at the end, though.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about like maybe what ranches fall into that category. That sound good?
All right. Sounds good to me.
So the first one I have was, what is the best land that we've experienced on cooking on the wagon?
When I see beauty, sometimes it's not prim and proper beauty, like dolled up. It's rugged beauty.
Oh.
The Paladura Canyon, to me, one of the first winters that I was in there, because I'd never been in it, you know, never seen it.
And the Paladura, if people don't know this, this is the second largest canyon in the country, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's harsh. It can be very hot. It can be very cold. It's windy. It's rough. rugged land, but like you said, there's a lot of beauty there.
And there's really three levels. You know, there's the top of the Caprock, and then you drop down one, then you drop down another, then you're down there at the bottom level where the river is, you know. But I can remember one really cold night, and there's been a lot of them, but this one, when you're sleeping in there with the wagon and all the walls, canvas walls are around it, and I got my cot and bedroll by Bertha, that old wood stove, to where I can stay warm. And there's a stovepipe that goes through a hole that has metal around it where it don't burn the tarp. And when the wind's blowing, it's scratching and flopping all night. So I remember this night very much. And right about the time I got up to cook breakfast, he quit, which is very, very odd in our part of the country over there. Usually when you get up and, or if it's blowing in the night, it's going to blow for another week, seemed like. But it just quit. It was cloudy. There was no snow, none of that. All the crew come in. And I used to kid them, you know. I'd say, I wish I'd go with y'all today, you know. And there was a lot of days I wanted to go. But this particular day, I remember old Chris Morton turned around and said, you don't go today? It was like 2 degrees,
oof,
you know. I said, no, I'm pretty good right here. So them walls of canvas that close it in, they just snap in at the top. So I just let down part of it. It was like drawing the curtain in the bedroom, you know, where I could see. It's not quite light, but it's just enough light that you can sort of make out figures as they're, and they mounted up, and they was going to top out of one bottom of a canyon to get to the top rim. And I could hear them, even though I couldn't see them when they'd be thick in the mesquites and the cedar trees. I could still hear horses' hooves. I could hear people talking because it's that quiet in the, you know, down there in that canyon. But as they went to top out, I remember I get to see something that I'd never seen before in my life. When a horseshoe would hit a rock just right, climbing up them edges, it'd make a little spark.
Oh, wow.
Just a little light. And you had to be paying attention. But I got to watching, and I'd see it a lot coming across there. And I said, thank you, God, for this moment. Because I guarantee you, there ain't many people got to see that.
Mm.
And it's, this is dead of winter time. There's nothing green, but there's beauty everywhere. If we just open our eyes and look, take time to see it. And I think after the Paladura Canyon.
Ooh, I've got one.
Well, let's go ahead.
The Lazy T outside of Ten Sleep, Wyoming. And one of the reasons I like this is, so, you know, we're originally based in Oklahoma, and so a lot of our ranch cooking was based in that region. So we did a lot of Oklahoma, Texas, some New Mexico, and that's the primary part of it. So then when we got to travel north to go to Wyoming, that's always fun because you get a little different region, different culture, and this ranch was unbelievable.
Yeah, right in the Bighorn Basin.
It felt like we had traveled like 4 different continents all on one ranch.
Yep.
There were these really beautiful red rock cliffs that kind of felt like Utah.
Yep.
And then you had more grassy plains and like trickling creek, and the cows are eating the grass, and they're happy cows. And I just thought, is this real? I mean, it almost felt like too perfect there.
But, I mean, it even changed elevation quite a bit too, because you get back up there in the pines and the mountains, you know, and you'd be 8,500 foot pretty quick.
And elevation really can mess with your cooking because it starves oxygen of your cooking wood. So fire is not as hot. So it takes longer for things to cook. Breads don't rise. Cakes don't rise. So that's kind of another element of challenge.
Yeah, but it's so pretty because I never knew that part of Wyoming.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been up in there and cooked some to where it was either in the flatlands where the wind was blowing 9,000 miles an hour, or it was freezing to death somewhere else in Wyoming. But like you said, the canyons that we got to be in where the wagon was setting that day, just take your breath away.
And we were setting up. So we had been up there before, but we went back again to cook for an episode of our new series on the Outdoor Channel, Cast Iron Cowboy. And it was, I think this was the second episode we ever cooked on for that show, for season one. And we go up there. And of course, like every time, whenever the wagon rolls in, that region is having the most bizarre weather. So, of course, everything was fine. The wagon rolls in and they're having an abnormal heat wave.
In June.
Yeah. In June. And that's the reason we went up there in June, because we thought, oh, it'll be north, it'll be cooler. Yeah. Well, nope. And I remember, Kent, you had to cook caveman steak.
Yes, ma'am.
And caveman steak, which you all need to try, is when you cook a steak directly on the coals. No grate, no grill, straight on the coals. And you have a great trick, because you're actually starving the oxygen, so the ashes don't really get on the...
Take your hat off or something, fan all the ashes off coals to where they're good and hot. And then when you lay them steaks on there...
It's like a great... It's direct sear, right?
Yeah. You're not going to get a fire, because it can't get no air under there, you know? And if there is a little ash on there, it brushes off real easy. It's such a great charred flavor that you get with it.
It's a really interesting way to do a steak. And then, of course, we also had some... You were roasting veggies straight on the fire. And so it looked great. It tasted great. But man, it was rough cooking, because it was so hot.
Over that fire, all them coals all the time. But I remember, as we got through it, come up a little shower. And remember that rainbow that went plumb over that canyon we would
have? Yes, yes. If you guys are watching on YouTube, we'll add a picture, because that was like, that's the little blessing. Like you'd mentioned, like you work hard. We were sweating. We thought it was rough. But then when you just take that moment, take a breath and get that little nugget.
I put you through a little test today, but I'm going to give you a little reward at the end.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And Shan, did you know that May is National Awareness of Mental Health Month? And you wouldn't have to do this alone. There is help out there that you can get. You don't have to face these problems. You can go to BetterHelp and get you some good help.
I think that's a really good point, especially as we're coming in spring. And when the seasons change, I don't know if you guys are like this, but sometimes my mood or my like motivation kind of shifts. And I think spring is a great time to just like reinvigorate ourselves and refocus. And you don't have to do it alone.
No.
It doesn't have to be something that's making you sad. Maybe it's just something that's positive that's going on in your life and you want to talk about it. Or maybe you just want some help organizing your life. I think this is a great way, and BetterHelp with their therapists are there to help you. You know, especially with work, I get a little overwhelmed and stressed, and I always like to check in with somebody else. That's not a family member. That's not a friend. That's somebody that's like a outside source that doesn't know everything that's going on, because I think they give better perspective. And so that's one great way to use BetterHelp coming up. If you've got a life change happening, that's another great reason.
Yeah. Got a problem? You're not in it there by yourself.
BetterHelp provides you with a short questionnaire that will match you to a therapist based on your needs. With 12 plus years of experience, that means they typically get it right the first time.
You don't have to go through this alone. You can have someone to talk to. Go to BetterHelp. They'll help you out.
Sign up now to get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/cowboy. That's BetterHelp.com/cowboy. My next category that is, I kind of want you to paint a picture for us, is called The Feeling. And so, of course, we see the land and we'll get to the people, but I just want you, or we both can talk about, what can we describe the feeling of what it is to be on a ranch, to be cooking, to kind of be reliving history and sharing a tradition that's been going on for hundreds of years. And I specifically want to talk about the Bell Ranch in northeastern New Mexico. Because this is a very iconic ranch. And this was iconic for us because this was really the first ranch that we had both cooked on
together
at any length of time. It was the longest ranch I've ever cooked on. We were there for 5.5 weeks. And this was the first time in over 50 years that they had pulled out a wagon to use. And we were using it all traditional. We hooked the wagon up to a team of horses. And Kent and some of the other cowboys drove the wagon around the whole ranch during that time, put 144
miles on there.
Yeah. So this was super iconic. And I, for me, not being raised in this, this was monumental.
Yeah.
And you could feel the history there.
So can I back up a little? Because I still think this is like a game show, you know? So Shannon, I'll take feelings on ranches for 1,000. Okay.
Go for it. What is a feeling on a ranch?
First one, I think there's a little bit, I won't say so much fear, but unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been to the Bell Ranch before.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of the cowboys that were on the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what the terrain was like, what kind of wood was going to get to burn. That's usually a thing that really gets in my mind right off the first. What's the fuel?
Because fuel's huge for us.
Yeah.
We're really blessed. We have a lot of mesquite. Mesquite's a good, hot, burning wood.
Yeah.
It's great for baking, for grilling. You get out some of these places, and all they have is soft wood. And that's really stressful for us.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate enough out there. They had some mesquite, and we'd save them for steak nights or something like that. But mm-hmm. we was burning a lot of old cedar posts and everything else forever, you know, to get baddies. And
I think we even did burn some cow patties.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, going down the trail so many years, if old Cookie didn't find wood, that's what he used, that or buffalo.
Yeah.
When you first get to a ranch, especially something that's that iconic, that big, and everybody's gathered around before you leave and they're loading up the wagon, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, we're cooking supper tonight, and then it really starts.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, I want to make them feel comfortable, but number two, I want them to feel full, but not just in their belly. I want to feel their heart and their soul.
I'm sure that it was tricky for them too, because this is a big deal, because this is for such a long cooking. If you have a bad cook, this is going to be a rough, long time. And I'm sure that some of them had heard of you.
Yeah.
And so, but it's just amazing to be part of that. And you could feel it with all of them.
Yeah.
They knew like how important and how cool this was, that they were actually going to be pulling out the wagon and doing it exactly like it was done in the 1800s.
Oh, yeah. I can remember Gary Morton telling me one time we was moving the wagon. You know, some camps you'd be in 2 or 3 days. Sometimes you'd move after the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a remuda, which is a band of horses, or a cabby, as y'all would call them in y'all's country, of the horses that they were going to use during that 6-week period.
Mm-hmm.
And wagon's always first, you know, I'm headed out. And then it's the cowboy, the remuda and all the cowboys bringing them up.
Mm-hmm.
And old Gary rode up there beside me and he said, Kent, did you see that? And I said, what's that, Gary? He said, look at it. And I said, and I'm looking all around in front of me and everything. And I said, I don't see nothing. He said, no, look down at the road sort of behind you. And I looked back and I said, that's a lot of horses. Oh, he said, look at the ground. And I looked down there and I said, it's wagon track. And he said, what I wanted you to see. He said, there hadn't been a wagon track on this road since 1957.
Hmm.
Was the last time that they pulled out a wagon, because they couldn't find anybody in the years ahead that could drive and cook both. They used feed out of an army truck or an old trailer or something, you know. And it made me stop and think. The feeling that I got then was of, I'm not trying to brag, but it was of success, was of pride, but also of great humility. I'm getting to make a track in a road that some old cook had made 50 years before I got there, 60, you know, going to some of the same camps that them old cooks used for years and years, and setting up there and passing on history one plate at a time.
Mm.
It was a trust in the team, too. Old Mick and Minnie were such great horses. But you talk about the feeling. I think the crew felt it maybe after the first 3 or 4 days that we took them in as family.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big part of it.
You bond really quickly and get to know these people really well.
Because a blessing. Wagon is a gathering place, not just for food.
Yep.
There's camaraderie, there's talk, there's business meetings, you know, but I've always prided myself, me and you both, in, which is just not about food for us on a ranch. Mm-hmm. It's about, sure, I like to run it the old ways, keep things sort of like they was, but I love to visit with people.
Mm-hmm.
I love for people to feel at home because, like you said before, a good cook and a good crew make for good works.
Hey, Kent,
yes.
How would you like to take the people for 200?
I would love the people for 200.
Okay, our next...
Just a daily double?
This is our... No, not yet.
Okay.
How much are you going to wager?
I'm going to wager 1,000.
So our next category is the people, which
yes.
We've talked about is really nearly as important as a pretty picture
yeah.
that you get to look at every morning. This one was also a ranch that we hit for Cast Iron Cowboy. And this one has a lot of meaning behind it because we traveled to Nebraska outside of Alliance,
yep.
I believe, and we visited the Loomis Family Ranch.
Circle L.
This was important because, one, this was the very first episode we ever shot for our new series. Number two, just maybe 3 days or 4 days before that, we lost our house in the house fire.
And the beagle.
And the beagle had passed away. That was a lot.
Oh.
And then we're thinking, oh gosh, we have to go cook. We have to be happy. We have to be on. And the Loomis family, I might get a little sad. They were unbelievable.
Yeah. They took us in from the very first minute we met them. Naomi was like somebody I thought I'd known all my life and never met.
They were just so welcoming and just a good, you know, you get that sense of salt of the earth people,
yep.
hardworking, making out a living on the land, and you just appreciated it so much. And I may need to also put them in the land category too.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We were in the sandhills of Nebraska, and I didn't know what that meant because I had no idea what the sandhills of Nebraska was like. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Like a painting.
We had the best camp. Really, there was not a tree in sight.
No.
I'm glad Smoky Woods was furnishing wood. We'd have been burning cow pies for a long time. But I remember that camp, and there was a windmill and an old stock tank
mm-hmm.
down there, you know, behind camp. And Naomi and them told me that that's the best water on the ranch
oh.
to drink, to cook with, to bathe in, everything. And I remember going down there that first day and getting a coffee pot full of water. And I had me a cup. And I was like, I'm thinking, we could just serve water. This is the best meal I've ever had in my life, you know. But I know we have a picture where the moon was so big and bright behind that windmill, and you can see it. And it's like it's sitting there waiting for the first breath of air to give the first breath of life to something who drinks that water.
Mm.
It was like living water. I mean, it was so good.
They were so excited to have us there, and they were so gracious, and they helped us unload the wagon. They
yeah.
helped us set up camp. And I remember, though, as we're setting up, we're like, oh, that's looking a little dark back there. And kind of kept watching. I'm like, well, that storm looks like it's getting a little closer. And by the time you had just nailed down the last teepee, and I remember the camera crew's like, we're going to leave. And they got out real fast.
Yeah.
And the wind hit and it blew the teepees over. So then we all got in the trailer.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden we're peeking out of the trailer and we see over the horizon, this like the ground is moving. And I'm thinking,
it's different colors.
What is coming at us? It was a whole herd of goats that like stormed camp
yeah.
and they wanted in the,
they
and they,
put in the trailer
they kept trying to get in the trailer with us. And I remember we slept in the trailer that night and the thunder was unreal and it was just shaking the ground. And I'm thinking, is this okay that we're in this metal trailer? But that was for sure top people.
Oh yeah. And while we're mentioning them too, folks, if you're watching this, there was been so many big fires in Nebraska. And Naomi and them, along with other ranchers, they lost a lot of country.
They've lost
a lot of grass, a lot of feed, a lot of pens. So when you're saying your prayers at night, pray for rain and healing for that old country, but pray for courage for them folks that went through it.
Absolutely. All right. So are you ready for our next category?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to put money on it or you just want to go for it?
I got a dollar left.
Okay. Yeah. Because you're doing good.
Yeah.
This category is interesting. I'm calling it Work and challenge.
Work and challenge.
So we've said this, you know, not everything is sunshines, rainbows, and roses, right? There is beauty, but sometimes you have to work for it and you have to look for it a little more. And this ranch, I think, falls into that category. This is the Babbitt Ranch in Arizona. And this was for another shoot you did. And I was really bummed because I didn't get to go on it because I was having gallbladder surgery. But super iconic, expansive ranch.
Yes.
Take us on it.
It's north of Flagstaff and a little, let me see, a little back east. But there is a mountain there by Flagstaff called the San Francisco Mountain. And I'd seen it from another ranch we was on at that time doing a shoot, but it was 47 miles from me. We were cooking on the Diamond A's, and you could see it way over there. Well, I didn't know that's where the Babbitt was. Somebody, yeah, you're going over yonder. That's the Babbitt country, you know. So we get over there, and we drive. There's a lot of volcanic rock in there.
Oh.
And we drive through these pastures and keep on winding around because they're gathering pasture the next day, probably 150, 200 head of mama cows, you know, getting the calves off of them, branding them, working. So I'm knowing we're going to be, have to come into a set of pens somewhere. And all I'm seeing is just these big old rock mountains, small mountains and hills, you know, and some green grass and some mesquite trees, you know. But I ain't seen nothing that just reaches out, grabs me, you know. And one of our cameramen, Nate, is very particular on where we set the wagon. If it's half inch out of degree from the North Pole at the 37th parallel, you know, and he's getting better than I am too for putting up with it. But we finally come around this corner and got down there, and there's a set of pins, and there's a big old jagged rock, looked like volcanic rock, just sticking out sort of there, but there's a flat spot. And looking sort of to the west, northwest, you can see forever, seem like. But when you turn and look a little to the south, that San Francisco Mountain is there.
Mm, just kind of shining.
And it's snow-capped.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it is beautiful. And there's not a sound to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wind, none whatsoever. And I remember Clay, our producer, he said, Kent, now we got rooms up here at this hotel. And I looked up at there and that sky, and I looked around. And I said, I'm sleeping here tonight. This will be probably the calmest, quietest place I've been in a long time. So me and old Chris Morton, who was helping me, we just set up our teepees and we stayed out there.
But the calm didn't last forever.
No. You ever heard about the calm before the storm?
Is that what happened?
We had the calm and then we got storm. And they were going to come eat breakfast.
Okay.
You know, but it was going to be after they gathered the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at light, which 6 o'clock that morning, it was a little breeze, not bad. At 7 o'clock, there was a little more. At 8:30, when they showed up to eat breakfast after they'd got them cows penned, it was probably blowing 30. And then Mother Nature says, let's see what kind of cook you are. And it was probably blowing sustained 50 miles an hour constant.
And you have no windbreak.
Nothing.
There's no trees.
Nothing.
There's no getting out of it.
Nope.
And I want to say wind is probably the hardest thing to cook in.
Yeah. And I look down there at them pens and them cowboys. It's so dirty down there, you can't hardly even see them.
Yeah.
Wind's blowing.
How far from the pens are you?
Oh, 250 yards, you know, something like that. But we were doing something I really love to cook, and that's an enchilada burger.
Can we just give a little preview of what that is?
Yes.
So we have a video of this if you guys want to look it up, but an enchilada burger, just a regular burger, but then you fry corn tortillas, put that on there.
The burger meat has enchilada sauce in it.
And then you've got enchilada sauce on it.
Yeah.
Do you have a fried green chili on it too?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's amazing. Anyway.
It is good. But we're going to start that about 11. You know, we'd got breakfast. They was going to eat like when they got through working, which is probably going to be two-ish long in there. So we get the dishes sort of cleaned up, and we go to thinking about lunch. And I think you can show them a picture of this, because if you look at old Bertha, and right beside old Bertha, there is a metal pole. And that metal pole runs up there to a top ring, which holds it down, but it has to be metal so it's close to birth. It ain't going to burn down.
Right.
Mother Nature kicked it up another more. She said, if the speed limit in Arizona is 70, I'm going to give you some 70. And it just kept on it. I mean, it just beating you to death. You couldn't keep nothing on chuck box lid. Things was flying everywhere. And I was trying to get around to drive a stake a little deeper in the ground because you could see it pulling on them stakes all the time. And I went around behind Chris Morton, and about that time, I just seen hit the ground.
Chris just hit the ground?
Yeah. Got blood running down his head.
No.
You know, and he sort of, his eyes rolled back in his head. Chris is, he is a stout man, been through a lot. You know, 7 hip replacements, shoulders. We call him Bionic Cowboy. And when there's something to knock him out for a little bit, it's hurt. It's bad. And he's, when he sort of come to and he's looking at me and he said, why'd you hit me? Why'd you hit me for? I said, I didn't hit you. That pipe blowed out. And got him. So we got him took care of. And I can remember was having them corn tortillas laying them. And they was blowing off the chuck box lid like Frisbees, like you're shooting clay pigeons. Clay said, I said, don't worry, you ain't going to find them. They're gone.
So you just kept trying to cook and keep everything
you'd
down?
You'd burgers on a grill and the wind would flip them. I mean, this is, I've been in a lot of weather, but this was probably the worst I'd ever cooked in wind-wise. But you look over there at them cowboys, they're working in it.
I'll tell you, when I've been out cooking, the wind will kill your soul faster than anything because you can't get out of it. It's ruining all of your plans. You trying to figure out how to cook. So how did you find beauty in that moment?
Well, when they come up to eat and they're getting behind every little rock they could to get out of the wind, and they were of all ages. I remember there was these two, I took a picture of two little fellas that's out there eating, that's behind this rock, you know. And I said, I hope you fellas are enjoying. And they turned around, and one of them had that enchilada sauce running down his chin a little bit, you know. And he said, Cookie, this is probably the best meal I ever eaten in my life.
Oh.
That's when you find the beauty.
Mm.
Because I'm not thinking it's the end of the world, but I'm thinking I'll be glad when this day's over to get out of this wind, to actually take a bath, not have to stand up. Because you're fighting just to stand up in it,
oh, yeah.
You know, all the time. But to hear the compliments, to see the gleam in their eye, to hear them little kids saying, I wish you'd stay on, we could eat here again, you know. So beauty, as they say, is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me to be sitting there beholding myself to hang on to everything that was trying to blow away and then getting to see those folks come through, eat, and tell me it's the best food I ever had.
That's
worth it.
That's the gift right there. Yeah.
And so there's storms of all kinds. You're going to face wind. Wind's going to try to blow you down. But if we'd have give up, what would happen?
Everybody goes hungry.
Yeah.
And then you feel really bad. Yeah. And then, yeah. Speaking of bad storms, you had also mentioned that one of the other most trying, challenging times you've had was on the Rocker Beat.
Yeah. You know, that's west of San Angelo out there. It is a place that has got a lot of mesquite trees and cactus. But we'd been through 2 weeks already and was doing three. And we're just like 3 or 4 nights.
But I remember you on the phone when I could get you.
Yeah.
Kind of recapping me.
I mean, I love a good thunderstorm. I do.
They're the best in a teepee because you get that rumble and then the little pitter patter on the canvas. Yeah. And it's very calming.
This wasn't pitter patter.
No.
No, I mean, and probably the worst lightning storm I'd ever seen in my life. It felt like coming plumb through the teepee. You know, you'd see it come in the door and go out the window. And, but to lay there and I listened to it forever and ever. And I mean, it was raining so hard, you couldn't even hear yourself inside the teepee. And, everything was leaking. And, I remember getting up after it sort of passed. And that's another calm after the storm to where that big old massive thunderhead had moved by, but it's just right past you. And it's just a constant flash of light, jagged streaks of lightning coming down out of the sky that are actually hitting something. One had hit part of an old oil deck over there, and we had a pretty good explosion that night. But to watch them hit the ground, the brightness that they have, and it would light up camp. And I could see up there camp was a wreck, you know. So I knew it was going to be a little challenging to cook breakfast. But there's something in that storm that wasn't just, I'm going to give you some beneficial rain, I'm going to give you some lightning, but I'm going to make you trust yourself a little here. Can you weather this storm?
Mm.
Can you get through it? Cowboys all abandoned their teepees and got in pickup trucks.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They didn't tell me that till the next morning. But if you've ever seen it behind a big thunderhead, to where you get to see that lightning, but you can see the tops of them clouds, them big old thunderheads just rising up forever and ever, you know, and the taller they are, the more severe. And these look like they're 50,000 foot up there, just going strong, but they just, such a beauty to see. It was wet. It was a little harsh at times, but when the sun come up, hey, it's just another great day to be alive.
The moment is always a little different than the memory, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
In the moment, you think, this is never going to end. I'm never going to get out of this. But then when you look back, you kind of even like, you can laugh at it. You can think, well, that wasn't that bad. Or
there'll be one worse.
Hey, yeah. Or like, hey, this is what I learned from that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. We've been through a lot of storms, sent a lot of things on wagons. There's always been some beauty to go with it, even after it was over. There's a lot of things in life that you think, I don't know how I can get through this, and there sure won't be any blessing. I've got some of the biggest blessings in my life by God testing my faith through something that was really hard to go through.
Is there a ranch that sticks out in mind, or maybe just a situation where at the time you were thinking like, there is no lesson in this. This is just making me angry. This is just a really hard time. I don't have any benefit from this. But then maybe looking back, you're like, okay, I see the message.
I've got angry with the wind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the wind will always challenge you.
I can remember, and y'all heard me talk about the Palo Canyon a lot, but I've been in it so many times cooking, and it was just constant day after day after day. And you get to where you'd...
Like, what's the point, you know?
I'd get in the pickup every once in a while and shut the door. And you could still hear it, but it wasn't beating on you. There wasn't a canvas wall hitting you in the face at night or something like that. But there's always something in there that teaches me something. I don't care what I went through. There's always something at the end of it that says, you made it through this. You persevered. Why did you do that? Number one, you had faith. Number two, you prayed a lot to God to get you through it. But I think it goes back to patience more than anything else.
Mm.
And like you said at one time at the bail, when we'd been blowed to death for 3 or 4 days, and you were sitting in a chair, turn you back to that old wind like an old horse to a cold norther, and there was tears running down your face because I could see the dirt getting cleaned off. And you looked at me and took your sleeve, wiped that tear off, and you said, I said, go to the pickup, go to headquarters. You ain't got to be in a 70-mile-an-hour breeze. And you looked at me and she said, this is what we do. And we do it better than anybody else. If you can't take it, maybe you ought to go to headquarters. Oh. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm going to stay out here and get after
you. You got a little pep talk, did you?
But you've been through those.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something at the end of it to where somebody will come to you and say, thank you for what you went through to put this on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's always going to be that in life, I think, to where there's a storm, there's an incident, there's something that happens bad, but they're going to be some blessing at the other end if we just look and we pray about it.
I think that's what's the hardest thing is if when you're really in something and you're knee deep or head, it's over your head and you think, I can't see what the message is here. It's just, you don't have to see the big message right then. But what's the little blessing? What's the little thing that you can find to just give you a little hope to then be able to get through it. And I think the little blessings.
I look for them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out through life, sometimes I used to not look for them because I never expected them. And that's when you don't get to see them. And that's when a lot of times you're not going to have them because you didn't have the faith. You didn't have the courage. I didn't pray enough to God to get me through these storms.
Or you just didn't stand still long enough and open your eyes to see them. I think that's what a big problem is. I know I have is just slowing down enough.
Yeah.
To look around.
Put it in reverse.
Yep.
Let's back it up. Beauty doesn't have to be a painting. Doesn't have to be a picture. It doesn't have to be in a museum. Mm-hmm. It's out there and we get to see it if we just take time to look for it. Look around where you're at today. I guarantee you there's something there that'll put a gleam in your eye, something you'll see. It could be a little old baby sparrow hopping across the road or something, you know. But there's little blessings in life that sometimes, like you heard me say, we so often take for granted or overlook.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down. Have the patience, seek the beauty, and you will find peace and comfort.
I think you did really well on this game show, Kent.
Did I win a prize?
You didn't win a prize, but you'll find the little blessing in that. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was a great episode. Love taking you all down the trail with us. I hope you felt like you were welcomed into camp because you always are.
Yeah.
Take us with you wherever you go, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes,
whatever you got.
We're everywhere. So we'd love for you all to just take also a little moment and give us a rating or a like. It really helps us out.
I do have one thing I'd like for folks to remember, Shannon, those people we mentioned in Nebraska, not just Naomi and them folks at the Circle L, but there were so many ranchers and families affected by them large fires. Keep them folks in your thoughts and prayers. I'd appreciate it. But it is with pride, honor, and privilege that I tip my hat to all our servicemen and women and all the veterans that have kept that old flag a-flying, no matter where we at. We commend you, we do, every day we lift you up in prayer. God bless you, each and every one, and we'll see you down the podcast trail. Find a little peace and happiness.
Pioneer.